Hello, everyone. The first edition of Sandhills Stories, a new program here on KVSH Radio. And this was Stacy Adamson's idea. So we're going to take it and see where it goes from here, but trying to feature some of the history of the Valentine, Cherry County, maybe some South Central South Dakota areas as well. So we hope that you enjoy the program as it comes to you on a weekly basis. And we kind of thought about the Peppermill Restaurant in Valentine, since they announced that it would be closing at the end of February. We thought that'd be a good place for us to start and kind of get the history of that and the Joseph family. So we're going to start off the program. Robert Joseph is going to be our guest on this program, and it might take us two or three programs to get through this. But Robert, thanks for agreeing to be our first victim here.
Hey, thank you for having me.
I want to talk a little bit first about the Joseph family, the Mulligan family, that you, your ancestors. How did they end up in this area?
Well, luckily, back in 2015, my grandfather, Bill Joseph, and I took a road trip to Rapid City and flew out to Arizona together and spent some time. And during that, he drove, which was always dangerous, not a great driver. But I wrote down everything he had to say. And so I know a lot more about that side of the family than a lot. The other side, my mom's side, the Scrantons, have an interesting story. And they were a little better at writing it down, actually. And I can go back and do my research. But just such a special moment with Grandpa Bill to really rehash what I'd heard about the Joseph family and the history and how that got us to where we are today. The Mulligans, of course, they're all over the place. It
right.
seems like I have cousins all over the hills, and a lot of us are very much still here. And that ranch was just on the winter cut across, very close to the Raiden. The Cashes own it now. And so that's where my dad spent a lot of his time, and it kept him around here. And that part of the story probably got him launched into agriculture more than anything.
So it was primarily agriculture is what got the Joseph and the Mulligans here in the ranching industry?
I would say the Mulligans were more inclined for the ranching, whereas if you go back to the early 1900s, the Josephs were Lebanese descent, and they were known as merchants. And that's very much what they were known. My family, for the first half of the last century, had come here from Lebanon. And my first, the first Joseph that landed here married a Ferris. And so that would come back to just an arc that met itself again, 80 some years later. So Grandpa John Joseph, who was alive until I was junior in high school, that would be my great-grandfather. He was a merchant in Kilgore, Nebraska, when there were several grocery stores, if mm-hmm. you can believe it, in that area. And the homestead is down by Anderson Bridge, still owned in the family by a sister, a first cousin of my grandpa Bill, Kenny Joseph's daughter. And so that's the Carol Olson, the Olson family. And so we still have that land that they started here and had so many kids. And Grandpa John Joseph went from there being several grocery stores in town to one. And so he spoke three languages, which that was a big part of our family's development here and early success is, he spoke Lebanese. He learned English right away, and then he spoke Lakota Sioux. And so
oh, really?
They would make hay rack rides up to the reservation, weekly, give out candy, deliver some groceries, and just create that goodwill and that bond with the people that had settled this land for hundreds of years prior and that really made his business successful.
That was the roots of your marketing degree?
I think so. Yeah, absolutely. And it couldn't have hurt also. The railroad ran through here, and Grandpa John would routinely get several rail cars. There was not a lot of refrigeration, if any. So it's not like you're going to the grocery store to buy lettuce and tomatoes. All the general goods that you think of. But sometimes you had several train cars of sugar.
Sugar.
In the 1920s.
So I wonder where that was going.
I don't know. Either someone was baking a lot of pies or a little bit of whiskey. I'm not sure, but he just sold the sugar. So
I never I've heard stories about moonshining in these parts, but I'm sure that it happened. So
I'm hopeful in your series that you can uncover somebody that did. It's just not something I've heard a lot about up here. It seems like more of a southern United States thing,
right.
You know, or east
Appalachia,
of here.
Appalachia somewhere.
Yeah. But everybody needed that nip of whiskey even during Prohibition.
All right. So when, what years would it have been? What time frame when your family, the Joseph family, first came to the country then?
Just after the turn of the century is where we understand that the Josephs were first here.
Okay.
And then made the homestead. And Grandpa John would have been down at Anderson Bridge. Grandpa Bill would have been born right here in Valentine. And then we're steadily here, and my kids will be sixth generation in the county. So whether the county wants to get rid of us or not, they haven't been able to for six generations.
Were there any restaurateurs over the years and other until when Bill got into the pepper mill?
Not really. And that story really is more of a story of desperation and innovation than anything. Now, Grandpa Bill did go to some schooling, and he was interested in that. His father was a grocer. He became a grocer. His brother was a grocer with him. And so he liked baked goods and whatnot. But I don't think restaurant was really ever in the purview. But, you know, as the Joseph family moved to Valentine, the first grocery store for John Joseph was where the Corner Bar sits now. And then his sons talked him into creating the new one, which is where Ward Plumbing and Heating is now.
Just was the Corner Market at one time.
Yeah, it was a half a block away. And they were pretty affluent for the times. You know, that grocery business was very, very good to them. They didn't always get paid. They had a lot of credit out there. Grandpa always talked about that.
Were they back in the days when they traded chickens for fresh eggs or something?
But there's been people that tell, you know, your grandfather got us through some really hard times, and, you know, we got him paid back this way and that. And that's the way it was out here. You know, you just that goodwill with the community, and he was really good at that. But also a shrewd businessman as well. You can't do too much of that before you're the one asking for a handout. So they were very successful and very affluent in my recollection of the stories relative to the rest of the community. And nice houses. Grandpa, you know, flew an airplane. And then, you know, I think my dad really wanted the fast action of getting into something like that. And we had already gotten into cattle in the 70s. And of course, that was going to be a gold mine, right?
Sure.
And so my dad, Roger, went and got a accounting degree at the University of Nebraska and came back and started helping. And they really blossomed into a huge operation where not only was Grandpa able to raise quarter horses, a passion that my dad's been able to recreate here in the last few years, but owned cow-calf operation, a big feedlot north of town. And they were just really ready to go from the pasture to the plate. But they didn't realize they would do the plate part until the mid-80s. If you were in agriculture and you're still in it, then you survived something. And the Joseph family did not survive the 80s in agriculture. The margin calls came. There were cattle leaving by the truckload and losing hundreds of dollars per truckload. And it just took the Joseph Cattle Company completely out that market in the early 80s. And so Grandpa went to town and bought the Peppermill Restaurant from Joey Ferris. So a lot, Joey always called himself my uncle, Uncle Joey, you know, your uncle uh-huh. Joey calling. And so it'd been a long stretch of relation to where, you know, how close we were related, but that's how the Lebanese, and if you'd ever been around Joey, he really identified by that Lebanese ancestry, and my grandfather did too. And they called each other, you know, brother and cousin and uncle. And
what did your Grandpa Bill know about the restaurant business?
He knew that it could make money.
Okay.
he really did know that that Joey had done quite well there. It was also a hotel at the time, but it was a very, very old building. And some inspectors came in there and said, we got to do some real serious things if you're going to continue to operate. But if you can just imagine that that place built 100 years before that was used pretty hard by the railroaders and whatnot. And so Grandpa went in there and didn't have any financing. He went to a few local gentlemen that told, just begged him not to do it. He said, Bill, you don't want this. You don't want it. He said, don't worry about it. And I don't believe in Grandpa's recollection, the interest rates were particularly good. But within a year or two, he brought him a briefcase and said, you're paid. And so he'd done very, very well. And by 1990, is what we knew of the old Peppermint Mill, we call it, really tore down the old Niobrara Hotel and created the Sweetheart Beer Gardens and the big event space. And so, and he was only in it to 96. So from late 86 to 96, you know, Grandpa did it for 10 years and then moved to Vegas.
Yeah. Probably not a bad decision at that time, but left it in good hands when he decided that he was ready to move on from that. I believe that your dad, Roger, then stepped in to take over the Peppermill, the Sweetheart Gardens, and all of that for a number of years.
Yeah, I remember that being very tough times. I wasn't very old, but by the early 90s, old enough to drive a tractor and be a part of the hayfield crew. And I'd grown up in a pretty nice John Deere tractor, and when we had to sell the cattle company and kind of dissolve everything, when Dad built back, it was a lot of short-term cattle. He was just brilliant at that, getting and buying mostly cattle that nobody else wanted and packaging together and getting a calf or two out of them. And so our brandings went from, you know, a really nice set of cattle. Dad and Grandpa had dabbled in red Brangus, if you can believe that. They crush a red Angus with a Brahma, and they were long-eared, really good-looking things. They gained really well in the feedlot. I don't know what their carcass data would say if you'd really want to eat one, but with the advent of the Piedmontese more recently in Nebraska, I think that was, you know, way ahead of its time, that big, muscly creature. And so our brandings were always kind of neat then, you know, all these good looking calves with the big ears, but that quickly changed when we were in short term cattle there. Their mothers only had one eye or three legs, and the tractors were not nearly what I had grown up with. And I got to hand it to Dad. He really, really put in the time to fight back from the 80s, which was a very, very tough time, but it just probably wasn't enough, you know. Any rancher out there that's still going, that doesn't have a lot of farmland, I still think is just creating a miracle every day that they're able to hold on. You know, all your life savings are living outside. True. Some of them want to run over you. You know, and it just doesn't seem like the rancher is as forefront as the farmer in today's political discourse. And the rancher has to get along on his own. And he did for a very long time, but it was pretty obvious that, you know, he needed to take over and maybe put his time in on the Peppermill, and that would help pay forward for, you know, what became a really successful ranch. And if you're able to read the Midland News article, it was very good and conversational, one of the more unique pieces you'll see, but I think some liberties were taken there, and I would maybe quoted wrong here and there, and I've reached out to a few people, but one was my dad, and I'd said that, you know, Dad got that in 96, and he just lived there for 3 years, and I think in the newspaper article, he's like, he only ran it for 3 years. No, it really ran him for 10, but in 1999, I was in a windrower, I'll never forget it, north of town, and my dad came and got in there with me, and I knew it must be bad at work because there was no air conditioner in the windrower. And he sat and he said, I can't do it. The help, the people, just the grind of the restaurant was just never him. You know, he was the cattleman. He wanted to have a horse saddled every day. He grew up on the John Mulligan Ranch, and this just didn't suit him. I said, well, give me a shot. You know, I'll go to town for the summer. I was just a junior in college at the time, and you go and run this windrower without a air conditioning unit. And it fit me quite well, you know, but I don't know that it was fair to him until I graduated. You know, I would take things over, and then about the middle of August when he really needed help, you know, I always had to go back to school. And so when I graduated in 2001, I came back and took over some of the day-to-day operations of that, and it just fit me a lot better. With our, I truly, Mike, you won't believe this, I've never ever just really, when I look in the mirror, thought of myself as a restaurant guy. I feel like I was always going to do it like Dad and Grandpa did, as a means to an end, and then do something I love.